It is good to see everybody here tonight. We are going to be involved in our Soldiers of Christ Bible study tonight, and that's something we've taken a week or two break on, and we'll take another break on it next week, but we're going to try to continue it at least tonight. And what that means is when we have our Soldiers of Christ Bible study, that we have a short Bible study with all of us together of all ages. We just sit here and have a Bible class that is an ongoing study through the Bible. And right now we are in a study of the life of Jesus. And so we're going to continue in our study through the life of Christ. We have this for just a short period of time, and then we just go right into our worship and have our worship service. And hopefully go out of here being built up and encouraged, and even more importantly, that our God is glorified. So get your Bibles and let's go to the New Testament. And I want you to have your Bibles in Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, those two chapters. But as we turn to Scripture, what have we learned to this stage? What have we learned about Jesus? What have we learned? And we've spent the last several weeks kind of doing some review of some things that we've learned about Christ. But if we were to look for a summary, if we were to look for, here's what the entire Bible is about. The entire Bible is about Jesus Christ from beginning to end. It's not just when you come to the book of Matthew that you start reading about Jesus. If you think you just start reading about Jesus when you get to Matthew, then you've missed the first 39 books of the Bible. The entire book is talking to us about Jesus Christ. And I know we say that a lot, and maybe you're getting the idea that, okay, I've got that, I've heard that. You know how many people don't get that? You know how many Christians don't realize that? They think, here's the Old Testament, this is all about God and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and the prophet, okay. And then you get to the New Testament, this is about Jesus and his apostles, and they've got the two just separated completely. Except that's not the way the Bible, and I know you know that, but I think the more we can say that, the more we can help others to grab a hold of that. So, Matthew chapter 1, what do you read about in Matthew chapter 1? There were about six of you that were fairly certain about it. The rest of you were like, I don't know, so I'm not going to answer. And that's a good approach. So, Genesis chapter 1, you read about genealogy of Jesus and the birth of Jesus. But usually when you think about genealogy of Matthew chapter 1, you're thinking, genealogy, it's the section of Scripture that I skip. All right, what do you read about in Matthew chapter 2? What do you read about in Matthew chapter 2? What does Herod the Great try to do? He tries to kill young Jesus. Does he succeed? Obviously not. What do you read about in Matthew chapter 3? Somebody goes underwater, somebody comes up out of the water. Baptism of Jesus, good. Matthew chapter 3 is the baptism of Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, temptation. Jesus is tempted by the devil, at least in the first part of the chapter, and we're going to get to the second part of the chapter in just a minute. All right, what do you read about in John chapter 1? Not genealogy. Jesus is eternal. He's the creator. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. What do you read about in John chapter 2? And this is just coming off of your Soldiers of Christ cards, okay? John chapter 2, there's a lot in John chapter 2. Jesus cleanses the temple in John chapter 2. He does his first miracle in Cana in John chapter 2. Who does he talk to in John chapter 3? Comes to him at night. Nicodemus. Who does he talk to in John chapter 4? A woman at the well. Samaritan woman at the well. All right? If we can get just some pegs in our mind about what are in these chapters, and I would encourage you to go through those key chapters on your Soldiers of Christ cards, look through them, or just look through your own Bible and look at those chapter headings. Those, I mean, when I was growing up, I didn't have a Bible that had chapter headings in it. I didn't have a Bible that had paragraph headings in it. I just had a Bible. There was no designation as to what was in this chapter or that chapter. It was just, okay. But if you've got a Bible that has those divisions, and obviously those have been put in there by man, so be careful with some of those. But if you can start getting those in mind, that's where I can find it. So, you read about Jesus being tempted in two places. Matthew chapter 4, You know where the other? It's parallel, so it's the same thing. It's just in a different account. Matthew chapter 4, you know where the other one is? Luke chapter 4. I love it when the Bible does that. Same chapter, different book. All right? Matthew 4, Luke 4. How many times was Jesus tempted in Matthew 4? Three times. How many times is he tempted in Luke 4? Three times. Same deal, all right? So this isn't trick questions, all right? So look in Matthew chapter 4, verse 12, and we're going to spend about 30 seconds in Matthew chapter 4, and then we're moving. All right, Matthew chapter 4, you've got the temptations of Jesus going through the first 11 verses, all right? And then we get to verse 12. When he heard that John had been put in prison, where did Jesus go? He goes to Galilee. Where's Galilee? Do you have Bible geography in your brain? Here's Palestine, all right? I know this isn't the greatest map, but maybe the colors help you, unless you're colorblind, and then try something else. So, and here's Palestine. This large area down at the bottom is Judea. Here's what major city for the Jews is in Judea. Jerusalem is down here in Judea. So you would think that this is where Jesus would spend most of his time, right? That's where the Jews are. That's where Jerusalem is. You're going to spend a lot of time here. What's just north of Judea? Samaria. Did the Jews go here a lot? No, we're not going to go there. We're going to take a detour. We're going to take a total... Why? What's wrong with Samaria? Jews don't have any dealings with those people. Huh? What? The Samaritans are in Samaria. That's the problem, right? Jews don't have anything to do with Samaritans. So instead, when they traveled north, they'd skip over Samaria, come east of the Jordan, and they come up to this northern... What's the northern area? Galilee. So if you get those three areas in your mind, northern area is Galilee. Where does Jesus spend a lot of time during his ministry? Up in Galilee. You know, when I was a kid, I thought, well, he's just going to stay in Jerusalem because that's where everything's happening. I mean, that's the Mecca. That's the center of all of it. And actually, you read the New Testament and he spends a lot of time. So he's tempted. So Matthew chapter 3, where is he baptized? Where is he baptized? Jordan River. Who's baptizing him? John the Baptist. He's down here in the southern area being baptized. Where's the temptation? Temptation is out here in the wilderness of Judea, maybe even as far east as the Jordan River. But it's not until you get to Matthew chapter 4 that he's going back north to Galilee. Now, come to Luke chapter 4. We're going to kind of try to put some of this together, okay? Luke chapter 4. Where do you read about the temptations of Jesus in Luke chapter 4? What verses? Come on, get there and talk to me. 1 through 13 are the temptations of Jesus. All right, so then you get to verse 14. And where does it say that Jesus returned? To Galilee. So Matthew chapter 4 in verse 12, he is tempted by the devil and he departs and goes to Galilee. I shouldn't have turned you so quick for Matthew chapter 4. But in Matthew chapter 4 verse 12, he departed to Galilee. And then verse 13 says, and leaving Nazareth. Where is Nazareth? Let me ask, is Nazareth in Judea? Is Nazareth in Samaria? Or is Nazareth in Galilee? Where's Nazareth? Nazareth is in Galilee. Can you read this? Right there is Nazareth. So Jesus is tempted after the temptation. He goes through, perhaps at that point, meeting the Samaritan woman. Goes through, gets up to Galilee, but then he says he leaves Nazareth. Well, what did he do when he was in Nazareth? That's Luke chapter 4, all right? So Luke 4 happens in between those verses. Come to Luke chapter 4 and verse 14, all right? What is happening in Luke 4 and verse 14? Is Jesus popular? Luke 4, 14. Is Jesus popular? How do you know he's popular? Talk to me. The news is spreading about him. Now, he's up in Galilee, okay? Now, some things are going to happen while he's up in Galilee. What is causing? Look in the verses and talk to me. What's causing the news of Jesus to spread? Miracles he's doing? What else? Say it again. He's teaching. Put those two things together. He's teaching and doing miracles. Do those two things go together in the Bible? Always. He's teaching and doing miracles. And the news that is going out about him at first is very positive. It says in Luke 4 and verse 14, news of him went out through all the surrounding region. He taught in the synagogues. And what was happening at the end of verse 15? He's being praised by who? Everybody. Okay, here's the deal. If you don't know anything about this guy named Jesus, and not only do you don't know anything about him, your brain, your mind hasn't been poisoned by anybody else. You know what I mean by that? Can you already have an idea about somebody when you've never met them, you've never engaged with them, but you already have an idea about them because somebody talked to you about them before you... Can that happen? Can you get poisoned against somebody before you ever even know who they are? Yeah, it happens all the time. So I want you to imagine being somebody that's a blank slate when it comes to Jesus. You don't know him. Nobody's poisoned your mind. But you hear him teach and you see him do miracles. What's going to be your reaction? Are you going to be like, this is amazing. This is incredible. We want to know more. Yeah, that's people's initial reaction. Until what? Until other people start to feed them with poison. Start to feed their brains against it. Does that still happen today? What if you go into a place with the pure gospel of Jesus and teach people about Jesus and what he's done and about his church and about getting to go to heaven and about, and somebody's a blank slate. Have you ever taught somebody, and I'm not using the word blank slate in a derogatory way. I'm using it as somebody who has no information, no knowledge, but also no negative slant against Christianity. They're just wide open. You ever taught somebody like that? I've taught a few people here in the States that way. I've taught a lot of people outside of this country that way who have no knowledge. That's fun because they get to learn the information for the first time. Jesus initially, and we're using this term accommodatively, Jesus initially was popular. People loved him, flocked to him, wouldn't you? All right, so that's what's happening. And what I want to do, we're going to kind of use... these questions as part of the basis of what we're doing. We've already talked about the three geographical divisions. That's a good thing to know. We've already talked about the area where Jesus did most of his preaching. And again, we would think it was down in Jerusalem and Judea, but it wasn't. So here's what I want to do tonight. And what do we have? Not enough time to make it through these. But I want you to think about Jesus goes to Galilee and he's on a mission. Do you think Jesus just worked randomly? You think he just woke up and said, I think I'll go to Nazareth today. I mean, do you picture him just being random? I mean, is that, do you picture Jesus be, you know, waking up and saying, you know, I just feel like some Capernaum today. I think that, or do you picture Jesus being a little more organized? Do you picture that? Do you picture him having maybe not in print, maybe nobody else knew it, but he had an idea of where he's going? That's the way I picture Jesus. He's got things laid out. You know that. You know he's got a plan. And so he has a plan to go to Galilee for a reason. Now, do you think he knew that eventually Jerusalem was going to turn against him? Where was most of the hostility that Jesus faced? I said most, not all. Where was most of the hostility Jesus faced? It's down in Jerusalem. Now, Eva's talking about his hometown. Did he face some hostility in his hometown? He did. And that's what we're reading about in Luke chapter 4. So here's some things that we need. And I've chosen these things about his mission because I want to see what kind of application do they have to us. Look in verse 15. What was Jesus' mission all about? Jesus' mission was all about teaching and preaching. Did he come to do miracles? Is that why he came? He came to to multiply the loaves and the fish. Is that why he came? No, that's not why he came. Did he come to walk on the water? That's why he came, right? Look at me. I can walk on the water. Is that why he came? Not why. Why did he come? Seek and save the lost. How are you going to seek and save the lost? You're going to teach them. Jesus, his mission when he came to this world was to teach. So look in verse 16. You with me in Luke 4, verse 16? He came to Nazareth. What's the big deal about coming to Nazareth? What was Nazareth before in the life of Jesus? Hometown. I'm going home. Jimmy, you ever felt like that? When you're going, I mean, you went home a little while ago and you froze to death. Was that fun? No, sir. You're like, I'm a Florida boy now. I don't go home and freeze to death anymore. So Jesus is going home. You think that maybe felt good? I mean, he's been in other places, but now he knows every place in Nazareth. Now, Nazareth is not a big town. Don't get the idea that it's some kind of metropolis. There are some who have looked at the population of Nazareth in the first century, and it was counted just in the hundreds. Not thousands, not huge, just it's a small town. That could be good, right? You think he knew where the good restaurants were? Yeah, I mean, do you think maybe he knew the restaurants not to go to? I mean, he knows the people, he knows the place, he's going home. When Jesus goes home, where does verse 16 tell us that he went when he got home? Talk to me. He went to the synagogue. According to verse 16, what made him go to the synagogue? Was this just a first time? I'm going to try it out. Everybody's talking about the synagogue. I think I'll go see what it's like. It was his custom. Jesus' custom was when the Sabbath day came, where was he going to go? You're going to find Jesus in the synagogue on the Sabbath. I want you to think about these first two things. Jesus' mission in life was to teach people. What's my mission in life? His mission was to tell people what they needed to know. Is that my mission? It needs to be my mission. That's the great co-mission that he's given to me, right? Teach people. Number two, his custom. People knew where he was going to be. Is that my custom? You're here on a Sunday night. I suspect it is. Is that our custom? Is that where we are on a regular basis? Can I ask you to think outside of the box of Jesus being God for just a moment? Where do you think he got that custom? At this stage, go back up one chapter into chapter 3. At this stage, Jesus is 30 years old. Okay? Do you think something transpired earlier in his life that gave him that custom? What could possibly happen in his life that at 30 years of age he's got a custom? Where do you think Joseph and Mary had Jesus on the Sabbath? You think they were down watching the game? You think they had season tickets down there on the Sabbath day watching the game? And, you know, when maybe in the off season they'd go down to the synagogue? If you were raising the Son of God, where would you have him on the synagogue? God, I'm going to take him to the synagogue. I mean, would you miss it? You're raising the Son of God. I'm going to have him in the synagogue. How often are you going to have him there? Every Sabbath. Because God said, remember the... Which Sabbath day? The Sabbath day. Which Sabbath day is that? Well, that'd be all of them. Let me ask you a question. If you're a parent, are you raising a son of God? Are you raising a daughter of God? Where are you going to have them? Is that our custom? When your child becomes, like Jesus was, 30 years of age. When your child becomes 30 years of age, what will their custom be on the Lord's Day? Now, is it guaranteed? Is it guaranteed that if you set the pattern in their early years, that at 30 years of age, they're guaranteed they're still going to be there? No, not going to be. But let me ask you something. If you haven't set the pattern, You and your family haven't set that custom. Maybe periodically you'd be there. Maybe when it works in our schedule, you'd be there. Maybe when family, Christian family, comes into town, we'll be there. What's going to be that man, that woman's custom when they're 30 years old? Are they going to be every Sunday? It's not guaranteed if you set the pattern that they will be, but if you don't set the pattern, you think their chances at 30 years of age are going to be higher or lower that they're there every week? That's not hard to answer. You know the answer to that. Your children are not going. The evidence and the common sense says your children are not going to all of a sudden become more faithful at 30 years of age than they were and how you raised them to be. Just not going to happen. The tendency is they're going to become lower, less faithful perhaps, but rarely more. What does that say to parents? Follow the example of Joseph and Mary. Go back to chapter 2. We're taking too long here. Go back to chapter 2. See this in the life of Joseph and Mary. Where are we? Luke chapter 2. Look at verse 39. Luke 2, 39. We're going to read a couple verses here, and then we're going to go right into our worship. So if you're somebody leading us in our worship, that's your two-minute warning, maybe. There's a little football Super Bowl night lingo for you. All right. Chapter 2, verse 39. So when they had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord. Who's this they? Joseph and Mary. When they, mom and dad, had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord. Great example, mom and dad. They went back home to Nazareth. Verse 40 says, the child, capital C. Who's that? Yeah, that's not hard to figure. You got a capital C on something, you're like, oh, that's Jesus. The child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Verse 41, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. How often? How often was the feast of Passover? Every year. So how often did they go? Every time there was a Passover, they were there. And so, verse 42, when Jesus was 12 years old, they, mom, dad, Jesus, other siblings, where'd they go? They went to Jerusalem. What does the rest of verse 42 say? According to the custom of the feast. They set a custom based upon the custom that God had set. What was that custom? You observe the Passover once a year. God set a custom. They set their custom according to it. And when Jesus was of age, we get over to Luke chapter 4. He still has that custom that mom and dad gave him. Jesus was on a mission when he came. And when he came on this mission, his mission was to teach. His mission was to keep gathering at the synagogue. That's 2 out of 10. Wow, we made some progress tonight.